Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, so everyone was talking about the big Browns news yesterday that Kenny Pickett may miss significant time with a hamstring injury, which could lead to some clarification, as we stated earlier in the show, of the quarterback battle. It's giving more reps to Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and the likes of Shedeur Sanders. Now, Sanders was asked before the start of the weekend last week, talking about whether or not he was bothered by not getting many shots with the number ones for the Browns. This is what Sanders had to say.
It's not in my control, so I'm not even going to think about that or have that even in my thought process of why it is. Like, it's a lot of people that want to have the opportunity to be at this level, and I'm here, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity. So whenever that is, it is. But it doesn't make me feel down, or it doesn't make me feel left out or anything, because I know who I am as a person, I know who I am as an individual, and I know what I could bring to this team.
Well, now he's got another shot, and I'm sure he's not happy about Pickett's injury, but what's going through his mind, do you think, as he potentially becomes QB3 now?
He's going to get his crack. He's going to get his crack, and I think that crack starts today. With Kenny Pickett out, I think it's going to open up, and he's going to have a golden opportunity. Plus, he's going to get into these preseason games earlier. And so he gets a chance to strut his stuff out there. Yeah, man, like, they're not going to just deny him to deny him. They're not going to deny him just to make everybody upset. He'll get a chance to show what he's got. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is.
You know, I've wondered a lot about his psyche because, from all accounts, you know, this guy mentally is so very tough. Like, I remember people were like, this stuff's been handed to him. He's never operated like that. He's always operated like a big time competitor. But it had to be weird, because think about how badly him and his group misplayed their hand. You know, the fact that he fell to the fifth round, they clearly had no idea what they were doing in pre-draft.
Fair.
Everything. Like, there's no way him and his talent should have fallen as far as they did. The only way that happened is they misplayed their hand. So before the draft, he's thinking, like, I'm a first round pick and I might even be top 10. I might even be the second player taken over, whatever. Okay, you hear all that, and then before you know it, he's a fifth round pick, and now he's on one of the worst teams in football, and now he's fourth string.
Wait.
That had to be a precipitous drop in the psyche. I don't care who you are.
See, this is why you root for him for show purposes. Is he becomes one of the all-time great stories if he works out. Then it's like no stones should be left unturned, because I think there was obviously, this was a wild quarterback draft because you didn't know really who's good and who's not good. And you had guys bump up in the draft, guys obviously fall in the draft. And I think that Shedeur Sanders, if you thought you were going to be a top five pick, yeah, there's definitely teams you're, sorry, I'm not going to waste my time. I only have so much time, and talking to the Kansas City Chiefs or whoever is probably not going to be beneficial to the time, because you're not going to take me. You have your guy. And then he falls to the fifth round. And so right now it looks like the teams were right. Like, boy, you should have taken all these different meetings because you thought you were better than what you are. Okay, well, what if he's just as good as he thinks he is, or his team thinks he is? Well, then now it's a big conversation piece to start off for the future. I mean, it's not going to be as much as us because we'll have our guy. But I think with the national media, well, you remember Shedeur Sanders, and the league judged wrong on him, and you see what Shedeur Sanders did. So there's a lot more fun to him working out than it is just him being another guy who goes up on the jersey of Browns failures past.
Over to the diamond yesterday, the Guardians dropping their second of three games to the Kansas City Royals. Split the doubleheader on Saturday, in which Jonathan Nidinga got his revenge on Emmanuel Clase. And yesterday, you lose 4-1. However, Stephen Vogt, manager of the Guardians, saying he's not bummed over dropping the series to Kansas City.
One series loss isn't going to get us down. We've been playing really good baseball. We played good baseball over this weekend, so they're a very good team over there, too. So we're going to get back to work. It's a tough stretch, 13 in a row coming out of the break, and quick trip to Kansas City and back home, but we'll be ready to go.
I'm more bummed with the fact that we can't score runs when bases loaded and nobody out in the first inning. Or, that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, or the top of the 10th, you know, the other day. I mean, so they're bungling these opportunities, and we still come back to the same thing over and over again with Manzardo. Like, how is Manzardo not playing every day?
That's the only thing
day?
I'm really angry about.
And I don't even care if the splits show that he's struggling. What else do you have? And they're not that bad. I mean, he's not, like, all-time atrocious against lefties. So I think that's obviously the first part of it. And what has happened to Carlos Santana? He has
39
fallen
years old.
Off a cliff.
Just 39.
There was that thing at the beginning of the year where, like, oh, once you get past May, like, then he starts to really heat up. And that heating up, just, there was, like, some stretches here and there, but it hasn't been what we want it to be out of a guy who's been the first base slash designated hitter all season
for us.
Well,
it's frustrating because anytime he does do well, it's like, and that's why. And it's like, well, what are we getting out of it? So we are going to have to get to a juncture here in this season where I don't know if playing him every single day over Kyle Manzardo is going to help you in trying to get to the postseason. I think a lot of people would think it would because he's a veteran, but I think you have to have that conversation. Two, if you're not going to try to get to the postseason, or if you're not in the real fight for the postseason, well, what's Kyle Manzardo doing not being an everyday player? Other than he has a fine mustache.
Speaking of the Guardians season being a roller coaster, that was kind of mentioned in Tom Hamilton's Hall of Fame speech from this past weekend, getting the Ford Frick Award. Now, he didn't say this Guardian season specifically, but he talked about the kind of way you have to approach each season.
Every opening day, we always remind the fans, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. The roller coaster ride that is a baseball season every day for 6 months. And now this truly is the final destination. I certainly do not feel deserving or worthy of this incredible honor, but wow. Mom was right. We'll take what we can get.
Matt, courtesy of the Guardians on X. A nice nut message there from a legend.
What a wonderful guy. Just a wonderful. We talked about him in Lima Likes at 6:43. He's just a good man. He's a wonderful representative of the city and of the fan base. And he's a wonderful one. His family's great. You can't say enough good things about Tom Hamilton. This is a really just award for him. Really,
and
it is.
And I've been to Cooperstown for, you know, this induction ceremony, and I would always pay attention to the media guys. I remember I went the year that Joe Morgan, you know, went in, and it's just something about seeing those guys, like the media to get in. I know some people say, why do you do this? Why the media? Why do we care at all about the media? Well, ask anybody who has, you know, listened to Tom Hamilton over the years, and how perfect a steward he is for baseball, and how that voice. And I don't know if it's the same way for kids coming up now, but for us, not only did I hear, you know, locally on the radio station, but also guys across the country. Back in the days, I could hear guys from St. Louis. I could hear, you know, from Chicago. And that was a big part. I'd have the AM. I'd have a boombox, literally a boombox, something you'd see from a 1980s movie, but that was literally how all of us, in my age bracket at least, how we grew up doing it.
Yeah.
And so we paid attention to the voices of baseball.
On the overnight ones, I got John Sterling on mm-hmm. 660. I would get Marty Brenneman. There were a couple of ones. You get St. Louis a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And I'll be in Detroit.
Cincinnati.
The one that Filar's on, 950, whatever the hell it is, I forget. But the one that Filar is on. Yeah, you'd get those. So you would hear those, and then, you know, once you got like the satellite, you got the play-by-play. I was lucky I got a little bit of the Vin Scully right at the end, which was, he was still excellent. So you still got to enjoy that, but there was representations of different cities, and you would find the different flavors of broadcasters and what made them right for their city.
Finally, also from the Hall of Fame inductions on Sunday, we played Cece Sabathia. This is Ichiro Suzuki talking about his induction and the one man who kept her from a 100% vote into the Hall of Fame.
3,000 hits or 262 hits in one season are achievements recognized by the writers. Well, all but one of you. And by the way, the offer for that writer to have dinner at my home has now expired.
It still blows my mind that that man was not a 100% induction.
It blows my mind that somebody who had a higher WAR, more home runs, more RBIs, more stolen bases, a higher on-base percentage, a higher slugging percentage, a higher OPS, and a higher OPS plus, is not in the Hall of Fame. A one Kenny Lofton.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
And that's exactly where I took it. Did it all in less games, too.
Mitch, come on. You're Mr. Baseball.
Well, I was going to say, I mean,
had a 299 batting average. He had 301. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
I'm with you that Kenny Lofton should be in the Hall of Fame, but Ichiro was an MVP candidate.
Great.
He was a perennial All-Star. He won the MVP, yeah. He was a perennial All-Star. He was the face of the Seattle Mariners, and Kenny Lofton was one of the faces of the Cleveland Indians.
It's not that Ichiro shouldn't be in.
Yeah,
right.
Ichiro
right.
should be in, but it's also that Kenny should be in.
One guy.
Yeah. Depending on where that guy's from, if he has an axe to grind about Kenny Lofton not being in, depending how he feels about it, then yeah, I think he's probably justified. There's always got to be one guy. Who cares? Who cares? Did you or did you not get in? Does it have to be unanimous? Does everything have to be unanimous? Do we have to go after the people who dare have a differing opinion on such a thing. He got in. Everything's fine.
That's it for about last night.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there's always going to be one stickler out there. There's always going to be one guy out there, no matter what. And who knows what their reasons are.
Is Pete Rose getting in? Do that one. Let's do that one next.